All right, good morning, folks. Let's get this going. Well, welcome to TechEd 2013 in beautiful New Orleans. I'm sure we are all having a great time here. The last 2 days have been a blast, and the next two are going to be very good too, hopefully. So my name is Uday Hegde, and I work at Microsoft in the Active Directory team, in the Active Directory product team. I put my Twitter account there just in case, so that we're going to talk a lot about Active Directory, and if you want to know when you can get your hands on the bits, more information, we'll be sending, as we blog about it, I'll be sending this information out. So if you want, you can look out for those tweets. Today's talk is about Active Directory and the work that we have done in Active Directory in Windows Server 2012 R2, all around enabling, you know, the new trends that's happening in the workplace around things like BYOD, consumerization of IT. And I'm going to be talking about how, with Active Directory in Windows Server 2012 R2, you can start thinking about a variety of devices coming into your enterprise, making your users productive using those devices, and being able to manage your IT, the risk management in your enterprise. And what we are going to talk about is what are some of the challenges that we have heard from our customers around the things they're facing in their companies today. And then we'll talk about the broad perspective from Microsoft. What are all the things we are doing, not just in AD, but in other areas like Intune and File Server and all of that, to tackle these problems. And then I'll talk about some of the scenarios very specific to Active Directory. So we'll start zoning down into Active Directory once I give you the big picture view. And we'll talk about the scenarios, and then we'll talk about the capabilities in Active Directory, and I have a couple of demos that we can go through very quickly. And we have a couple of other sessions that I'll point you to after this, so that if you have more interest, we'll be digging deeper into some of these areas. So with that, I want to, you know, very quickly go through some of the challenges that we have heard from our customers as, you know, some of the new trends that people are facing in the industry. And one is around the changing workplace with the users. You know, if you look at the users in the past, we were pretty much fixed to our desktops or laptops. This is a long time back, not in the recent days. But more and more, what's happening is the users are increasingly mobile, carrying a set of very modern devices from which they can get their work done. And they're demanding that they can get their work done from these devices. In the past, there used to be something called work-life balance, where people used to come into work for a certain amount of time. I hear some giggling. They used to come into work at a fixed time, go back home. But now what we hear is about work-life integration, where people want to integrate their lives, whether it's work or whether it's the family. They want to integrate it in a way that works best for them. For example, somebody wants to take their daughter to the soccer match during the day. They want to be able to do that. And while they're at the soccer field, maybe get some of the work done. So those are the types of things that people are beginning to expect. And we hear some of the users decide where to work based on how well their companies allow them to be productive with this work-life integration. So that's a challenge that we hear from our customers. The second thing that we are all familiar with is the devices. Now, in the enterprise, typically there was the device that was provided to the company by the company to the users, and it was typically a desktop or a laptop. The company had full control over that machine. But if you look at the world today, what's happening is the devices, they've become extremely smart, and people are carrying many of them, from a phone to a tablet to a laptop, at least three, maybe five, maybe 10, who knows. But the reality is these are now devices that people are mobile with, and they want to get their work done. And the challenges that the company faces, that what we have heard is that these devices are no longer a single platform device. It's no longer Windows or Mac, or it's multiple platforms across iOS and Androids and Windows. It comes across multiple sizes and multiple form factors, which means the way you present information to these devices need to be a little bit smarter. You cannot just say it's one form factor and everybody gets that view. And the other thing with these devices is that they have different lifetimes. And so that makes it a little bit more challenging because it's no longer this multi-year, you know, where a device lasts for 3 years in an enterprise. Some of these devices can come and go in a matter of weeks or months. And that increases the load in your IT infrastructure because now you have devices that come and go, and if you start remembering all these devices, you have a lot of devices in your enterprise, and you need to start thinking about how do I manage the life cycle of these devices in my enterprise. And then we have the applications. Now, when I talk about applications, I really mean two things. One is the server-side services and servers that you have deployed, and the challenge there is that you have things that you have deployed on-premises in your enterprise, in your data center, private cloud, and then you're starting adopting, you know, there's the externalization of IT where people are putting things in the cloud with software as a service. So that's one side of things. But the bigger part that's happening right now is all of these devices are have their own app platform. So people are going to be building modern apps that provide a native, rich experience to the users, and enterprises are going to start adopting those apps just because the users are going to be using them. And so now you have this challenge of apps across multiple platforms showing up in your enterprise that you have bought or your employees have bought, and the challenge now is how do you manage those apps? How do you figure out which users get which apps on which devices? So now that becomes another challenge that, companies are dealing with. And finally, we have this whole notion of data. Ultimately, everything that you have in your company, you know, most companies worry about their data because that constitutes the company's IP in many ways, the intelligence that, that is there. And if data leaks, then people worry about their corporate value being compromised. So with data now, especially when you looked at the other trends with users being mobile, multiple devices, apps being able to use this the data is more and more digitized as we keep going. You know, in the last few years, there's been an explosion of data being digitized. And so now the challenge is, how do you go and govern the data that's important to you? How do you make sure you find out which data is extremely important, classify it? How do you go and put your IT governance policies around where should the data be? When the data is going on the wire, does it get encrypted? Is it protected end-to-end, right from the point on the server all the way to the device? Those are all the types of challenges that, we face. And so what we have done in Microsoft is we have this notion called the people-centric IT. And with people-centric IT, what we want to do is take all of these challenges holistically. Instead of solving each challenge by itself, we want to take all of these things, look at the requirements that these pose, and figure out what are the solutions that we need to offer to our customers to, in order to tackle these types of problems. And so we think about that in three aspects. One is around management, around access, and protection. When it comes to access, we think about how do you enable your users to be productive no matter where they are, no matter on which device they are. And how do they get access to corporate resources that you have provided to them? When it comes to the management, think about all aspects of application and device management. How do you take all the devices that are showing up, all the applications that are showing up, how do you marry those two, and how do you manage the whole life cycle from the point the employee comes in to the time the employee leaves, to the time a device comes in, to the time the device is lost or stolen, to the point where an application comes in and application is removed. How do you manage all of that? And then finally, how do you protect your data? And protect your data doesn't just mean protect it with encryption or anything. It means from the point you have the data, how do you provide access to the data? How do you provide access control over the data? And then how do you govern the data with your policies? So, again, this is still a broad view that I'm painting here with. So given that perspective of what we want to do, we said, how do we go and allow, when we said people-centric IT, what we mean is how do we allow IT to solve these problems, all the challenges that we talked about, in a people-centric way? How do you put the users and all the people they deal with in the center and solve the problems in a way that the user is empowered, the user is productive, the user can get their jobs done in a way that IT can manage the risk. So when we think about how we want to go about this, what we said was there's always a tussle between empowering the users to be productive and IT managing risk. The more you manage, dial up your risk management, the less a user can get done. And so that's always been a problem. And we said this time around, we want to provide the core value prop we want to provide is we want to do both. It's not either or. First one is we want to enable users to be productive, no matter where they are, and from any device. Now, this is our broad vision, and we'll talk about specifically what we have done to solve this. And while we enable that end user to be productive, we want that productivity to come under the control of the IT. The IT ultimately has to go and look at the governance policies, figure out how the risk is managed. And so we want to give the right tools to the IT so that even as they enable that productivity to their end users, the company can manage the risk in being able to deal with this enablement of the users. And so specifically what we've done across many of our products is for enabling productivity and risk management, from the IW perspective, the information worker, the end user's perspective, we think about two things. One is, how did they get access to company resources? So remember, they have different devices. It could be a Windows device, it could be an iOS device, it could be any other device. They're working from anywhere, homes, coffee shops, wherever they are. And access to company resources is, how do we allow these users to be able to access company resources made available by their IT from wherever they are from any device? The second notion is easy IW experience. So this is where we think about users have different devices, and they take their devices and they're going into work. How do we provide an easy and intuitive experience on the devices of their choice so that irrespective of the form factors they have or irrespective of where they're working from, they have a good experience. They know how to get their work done from that device that they're using, and they can get to the right apps, to the right data using the device. From the IT perspective, this is the BDM, which is the business decision maker, or the IT. From their perspective, we think about this in three forms. First is all around access governance. Access governance to us means for the IT to be able to set policies based on who you are, what type of devices you're using, what location you're coming from, what resources you're accessing, how critical is the resource, and do I need to do something special about that resource? Those are all the things that IT governance people think about. Also, people think about when a user is coming from within their enterprise, they may want to set different rules. When they're coming from outside their corporate boundaries, they may want to set different rules. So those are all the things that we think about access governance. So access governance to us can be a lot more. In the future, as you think about it, we need to start thinking about how do we make sure that the companies can dial up their risk based on things that they notice that's happening in the company? Different types of events happening, people logging. You see a same user logging from different locations. You need to be able to look at that as an anomaly and figure out what can we do about that. Data governance is all about your IT risk management around data. How do you take your data? How do you look at the applications using the data? How do you figure out which applications are really critical to your enterprise, where any compromise of that resource means it's a big deal, so you may want to classify it as a high business impact? And then what do you do with, once you have done all of that, how do you protect this data end to end? So those are all the things that we think about in the concept of data governance. And finally, device and application governance is all about how you deal with device management, where devices come in, how do you know who owns the device? How do you manage the life cycle of the device as they come in and go? When people report the device is lost, what do you do? How do you wipe the device? Application governance is all about the types of applications that are coming in. Which applications do you approve? How do you take the application? Make sure that you are sending it to the right user on the right device. Because there are going to be a lot of applications. How do you get your users to discover those devices that are useful for them to do their work? So with that perspective, I'm going to start digging into the Active Directory specific aspects of this slide. And all the things I'm going to be talking about are around the IW value, around access to company resources and easy IW experience. And I'm going to talk about the IT value and the BDM value around access governance. What have we done in those areas in Active Directory? And there's more that in the other sessions that talk about device and application governance. There's also a RMS talk that happened, I think, yesterday, a rights management talk that happened on data governance. So I'm going to be focusing on access aspects in this talk. So I'm going to give you the scenarios of at a very high level, what when we think about the things that we wanted to make happen with Active Directory, what are the kinds of things that we wanted to be able to tell our customers? The first one is around single sign-on from workplace joined devices. Now, workplace joined device is a new term that we have. And I just want to give you an example. So we already have this notion of domain joined machines that is owned by the IT, and typically the IT domain joins the machine and gives it to their employees. And the experience on the device is once you log into the device, once you sign in once, you are able to access all of your company applications without any additional prompt, without having to enter additional credentials. So that's a nice experience. It's an easy experience for users so that they don't have to go through the inconvenience of having to sign in again. When it came to non-domain joined machines, that did not exist because we didn't know who owned the device. You did not know who owned the device. And to go and say that you have single sign-on is not very meaningful on those devices. So we thought about what is it that we need to do in order to deliver a seamless experience on these newer devices, which are not under IT control. It's owned by the employee. So we wanted to drive a slightly different notion from domain join, which is fully under IT control. So we have this thing called workplace join. And what workplace join allows the user to do is associate the device with the company. And we allow that on Windows and iOS devices with Windows Server 2012 R2. And you should expect to see other devices showing up in the future. And once your workplace joined, it actually gives the IT value, and I'll show you the IT value in a minute. But what it allows us to do is, since we know the device now, since we know the device belongs to an employee, and you have approved that employee to workplace join their device, we now can go and deliver a single sign-on experience to the user so that no matter which company application they're using from the device, all the applications you have made available to them, they don't have to keep entering the credentials over and over again. And we think of this as a key value because if you look at what applications are doing these days, most of these devices now have applications where, since the user does not want to be inconvenienced, the applications are starting to remember passwords. Now, there are two problems with that. One is that there's a security risk right there where if the device is lost, you have a rich harvest of passwords on the device, which we all worry about. So we don't like that model of applications remembering passwords. And there's also an inconvenience issue where if you have a lot of applications, 15, 20 applications on the device, and one fine day when your password expires or you change your password, all of these applications now prompt you for your passwords again. So we want to get out of this model of passwords being on the device, but still be able to provide the user convenience of being able to sign in once and not have to sign in each time. The second thing is enabling users to be able to work from anywhere, even while adhering to the IT risk management. And we have multiple strategies already around VPN and direct access and remote desktop gateway, but we are adding more. We have this web application proxy, which I'll be talking about to address this particular scenario. And then the third notion is IT can conditionally grant access to company applications. This, we think, as a key value prop from the IT risk management strategy. This is something that we did not have, or in the industry, this does not, there's not a rich access control policies by which you can demand multiple factors and of authentication and use those factors in your access control. So the way we think about this is the workplace joined device, and I'll talk more about what that exactly means, since we're going to identify the device and that device shows up anytime we do the access, it becomes a seamless second factor auth. Now, most companies, when it comes to their IT governance policies for extranet access, they require a second factor auth. And In many cases, it's a smart card or OTP or a token that you provide to the users, which they have to type in. With this notion, provided that your first act of workplace join is very secure, that when they join their device to the workplace, you make sure that that act itself cannot be compromised, then you are very sure that the device was registered to your employee. And when they show up next time, they come with their username and their password, and they also come in with the device. And that's what we mean by a seamless second factor auth. And I have a demo that demonstrates that. It just shows how easy it is. It doesn't show me, you know, while I've protected it with the workplace join device, as a user, I don't get prompted to provide anything other than my credentials. The conditions that we want to, you know, that we have made important and made available based on a lot of feedback from our customers is that it's based on the user and the users, the role of the user, the group the user belongs to, the identity of the device, network location, and also the strength of authentication, which is, you know, do you have any other additional factors of authentication? And all of this access control is one side of the coin. And in order for you to demonstrate that your access policies were indeed something that worked correctly, you need audit. And so the audit logs capture all of this information about user, the device that came in, and all of that. So you can actually go and meet your IT governance and also make sure that your policies are actually working. And when it comes to these applications that are being built, we expect to see more and more applications showing up on these modern devices. And there are many types of authentication protocols, from SAML to WS Federation to OAuth, which is a new standard that people are using. And so what we want to do is make the life much simpler for the developers so that they don't have to go and write to all of these protocols. So we are providing an AD authentication library that allows the developers to integrate their applications. They can still go and write the protocols themselves. It's a lot of work. But we think it's much simpler for them to go and pick a library from us that allows them to write their applications to this library. And once you do that, all of these applications integrate with all the value prop we are providing around single sign-on, around the IT risk management, multi-factor authentication, and so on. So before I jump into the specific capabilities we have added to Active Directory, I want to give you a view of what exactly we mean by this. Just be very specific about it. So I'm going to show you this slide, which talks about what is the end user value we are providing. And what I'm showcasing here, it's very simple, but I'm showcasing here just to drive home the point that your resources, you know, we think about this world being a very hybrid world, where people have information that they're using either on premises, like I have a few applications on premises, within the corporate boundaries, or it could be in Azure or in Microsoft Cloud with Office 365 or Azure software service apps that you've written, or it could be in a third-party cloud that you have a software as a service app that you're subscribed to. No matter where you are, and in some cases, you may not have on-premises because you're a cloud-only customer. And in some cases, you may not have the cloud. You may be an on-premise-only customer. In all of these cases, I'm just giving you a picture that shows the union of all of these things. What we want is for the user to be able to sit in the coffee shop with their iPhone and be able to access the specific resources in these three areas, which cover pretty much all the union of all the resources that you have. We want to be able to say, now that the IT has made those resources available for somebody to be able to work from anywhere, they can access it from their iPhone, meeting your IT risk management policies that you have set up. Or they may go home, pick up their Surface RT tablet, and they can go and do the same thing. From their perspective, from the iPhone to the tablet, they had, other than the form factor difference, they had the same experience. And then they come into work, and they're using a desktop, a domain join machine, a tablet. Again, the same tablet came into work, whatever it is. Again, they get the same access. Now, I have to say that this is what IT allowed them for that usage of work anywhere. It doesn't mean you get everything. For example, in a domain join machine, you may have allowed full access for everything, in which case, if I have a domain join machine, I get a lot more access than from a workplace join machine because you said that category has a different type of access. But I'm just trying to show you that if I have a, if I had a BYOD style device and I'm using it, whether it's in a coffee shop, at home, at work, I get all the access that was provisioned by IT. And now let's look at what it means from the IT perspective. From the IT perspective, let's take the exact same picture again. You have resources that are on-premises, your resources in the Microsoft cloud, your resources in some third-party public cloud. And here I'm going to show you a few examples. These are all examples of policies that you are able to set. And these are policies that does not require the applications to change. These are policies that you set in Active Directory for you to manage your risk. And they're all examples. You can once I show you those examples, you'll get an idea as to what all you can do. So the first example I have is I have a third-party SaaS app, a Dropbox or Salesforce or whatever else you have in public cloud, and I'm going to go to Active Directory and set a policy that says, for that subscription that I have, only allow users that come from devices known to me. So devices known to me means workplace joined device or a domain joined machine. So you can now go and say that application cannot, from some random user who might have compromised, who can have come up with a compromised password, I don't want that risk anymore. I'm only going to allow that access when users come from the devices that are workplace joined or domain joined. We didn't have this type of richness in the policies before because the device itself was not authenticated. Here's another thing that we hear a lot from our customers. They want to say, hey, I want to have different policies when a user is outside of my on-prem, you know, corporate boundaries, and different policies when they're inside my corporate boundaries. And we ask them why, and they say, well, the employee has badged in. They've already come in, and I know the person inside my corporate enterprise is more likely my employee, you know, is my employee rather than somebody who's outside my enterprise. And I may allow certain critical resources only for those people who are inside my corporate boundaries. So now you can go and set a policy in the cloud. And by the way, these policies, these are all examples. You can take this policy and put it in the public, you know, in the public cloud as well. So this policy says only allow access from users and only when they're within my corporate premises, within my corporate boundaries. Now, the third notion, and this is something that we hear a lot from our customers, which is when they have resources on-premises, they're very worried, and these are all, you know, SharePoint or whatever exchange that you're deployed within your corporate boundaries, they're worried about the amount of traffic that their backends will see when they expose those resources to work from anywhere. So if you expose those resources over the internet, then you don't want people trying to access those resources and causing denial of service attacks or any other kinds of attacks that you may see. So what we have done is we are providing this notion of a web application proxy, which I'm going to talk about. And with that, what you can do is you can go and publish applications that you pick to the extranet, over the internet, to be accessed over the internet. And then you can set a policy that says all access to my backend resources needs to be pre-authenticated. So there's an authentication right at the edge, which factors in all of the criteria I talked about, user, device, location, all of that stuff. And you can say, do not allow any traffic unless all of these policies are met. So this is huge because now you know that the traffic that's coming to your backend servers are things that you really want to allow and not some random traffic. And then finally, you can go to your web app, like a SharePoint, and go and say, allow access from anywhere, from known devices. And in this particular case, you may say, you know what, this particular resource is extremely critical. It's got a lot of high business value to my company. Not only do I need known user, not only do I need a known device, but at the point of access, I want the user to demonstrate that they're indeed in control of whatever they're doing. I'll send another factor. And this could be a multi-factor solution that you already deployed, or it could be a new multi-factor solution. For example, we have some of the demos that I'll be showing, and the demos you might have already seen shows active authentication, also called phone factor. But that's one from Microsoft, but I know a lot of our partners have solutions in the space, so which you might already have deployed. And you can go and integrate with those and say, I need multiple, it's not just two factors. It's not just user and device. I need user, device, and a third factor. So what that means is, basically what we're trying to do is make sure that the companies can manage the risk by allowing access only when certain criteria is met, and you can pick multiple criteria in that, and then allow IT to publish on-premises resources to the edge of the network. So I hope that gave you a perspective of the type of problem space that we looked at and how it applies to what you have in your enterprise. So with this, I'm going to jump into the specific capabilities that we have added in Active Directory around BYOD. And these are all the capabilities that I think, as I talk through, I've talked through some of them, but let me drive into the next level of detail about what actually this means. So AD Workplace Join. Like as I mentioned, this is a new concept that we have made available with Active Directory. And while you can continue using domain join for the things that IT owns, IT controls, and it gives full control to the IT, gives full access to the users, for devices that your users are going to bring into your workplace, the domain join is not a, may not be a suitable concept, because the users do not want full control over the device. They want to continue having the experience that they're already familiar with. They don't want to be locked up. They don't want to have policies that dictate what type of applications show up on those devices. So we have made this notion where the user can go and associate their device with the company's identity system, with Active Directory, without having to go and give up a lot of control on the device. And what this does is, from the IT perspective, it allows them to manage the life cycle of this device. It allows them to go and control what happens to the device, if the device is lost, stolen, if the employee leaves. And it allows them to set policies based on what type of accesses you allow from that particular device. Single sign-on, we talked about this. Single sign-on is now, once we do that workplace join, you can differentiate, as IT, you can differentiate, hey, is this access coming from a kiosk machine or somebody's friend, you know, somebody has borrowed a machine, or is this coming from somebody who has said, this is a device I work with? And when you know that it's a device that they work with, you are more comfortable in saying, I don't mind them having a single sign-on issue to that device so that they get a seamless experience, because I know that the next access from the device is likely coming from my employee, because they are the ones who have connected up their device to the company. Work from anywhere. So this is where you want to allow, when we looked at some of the challenges earlier on, we talked about users being mobile, working from, wanting to have work-life integration. So in order to do that, we think of work from anywhere. And while from Microsoft, we already had a few technologies like VPN and Direct Access and Remote Desktop Gateway, we are enabling more based on feedback from our customers that say, hey, while all of those type of options work for us, we need more. We want to be able to isolate the devices completely from my network. And so that's a capability that we are adding this time around. Multi-factor authentication. Now, this is something that keeps coming up more and more. And I think as people start thinking about this whole notion of externalization of IT, where resources are moved outside of the corporate boundaries, and they're worried about people working from their homes or wherever else, accessing cloud resources directly, and nothing comes through the IT preview. So there, what we want to, and so multi-factor authentication comes up almost all the time these days as to tell me how I can integrate multi-factor auth into my system. And in the past, we allowed multi-factor authentication to be integrated, sort of bolted on, with Active Directory. But this time around, we have built it into the Active Directory itself with an extensibility model, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And so with this, what you can do is you can demand additional factors of authentication before you allow access to critical resources. I think of multi-factor access control, which is a next step from multi-factor access authentication. Multi-factor authentication allowed you to say, I want multi-factor authentication for these devices. Multi-factor access control actually allows you to set policies that say, under what circumstances do I allow access to this application? Did the user come with it? And we think about user, the device, the network location, and the additional factors of authentication. And finally, the AD Authentication Library, which I already mentioned, which allows people to build applications easily with integrating authentication into their mix. So these are the six capabilities that I talk about whenever somebody asks me, hey, what are the things that you have done around BYOD and Active Directory? So with that, I want to jump into a demo that shows what we have done. And you know, one of the things that I want to stress is we really think about the companies are dealing with the heterogeneous devices problem. And so in the past, we did not have support for hetero devices in AD, and we want to make sure that we are solving the needs of our customers by actually making sure that the types of devices that show up in your enterprise are covered with AD. So the demo environment that I'm going to show is as follows. What I have is, it's all the only thing that, that I'm going to show is around AD and the web application proxy. All the capabilities we have that I've showed you. So everything that I show is based on this demo. There's nothing, no other magic. There's no other call out to any other system. There's a web application proxy that I have deployed. I put a firewall. I don't have a firewall, but you know, you get the idea. I have a network isolation between the web application proxy and ADFS. And then I have ADFS. And we have a device registration service in ADFS. And that's the one that allows workplace join to happen. That's how when a user goes and enters their username, we have a discovery protocol that allows them to connect to this device registration service. And then that with that device registration service is the one that goes and registers this into AD and provisions the device with an identity and so on. And I have two apps just to showcase what we have done. One is a web app that's claims-based. So it's a new app that's written. And the other app is a Windows, you know, uses Windows authentication. So it's a, imagine this is a web line of business application that you have built. And the whole idea is without changes to those apps, what are all the things that you can do? And I want to drive home the point that the apps don't need to change, but they need to be web apps in order for them to take advantage of all of these things. And what I have is I'm going to, on one particular app, it's called a simple Windows web app, just for an example, I have set a policy that says allow access from specific users when accessing from devices that are workplace joined. So with that, I'm going to show an iPad trying to access the simple Windows web app. And since it's not connected, since I never joined it to my company's AD, it's going to tell me I'm not going to allow access. Then I'm going to connect it to the company's AD, and then I'll show you what happened as a part of that connection. And then we'll show that, then we are able to provide that access. So this is my app, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up my Safari browser and go to, let me see if I can find it here. So there's this web, Contoso 100 simple Windows web app. So I'm going to click on that. And I'm asked for credentials. Now, if you look at this screen is something that's completely customizable by you now. This is something that, this is the consistent experience that shows up to the user, whether they're using the iPad, whether they're using the Surface RT, because this is all coming from the server. So this is a huge benefit from the, there's a question in the room. The question was, is this in the cloud or is this local to my environment? This is your company. This is however you set up your company. No. So let me go back to my slide here. The user is sitting, both of these devices are sitting outside of the corporate network. They're sitting on the internet. All of this has been published through the web application proxy. The reason that we can see this now is because the web application, I went to the web application proxy and published both the simple Windows web app and the Who Am I app as an example for this demo, and they're now available over the internet. So I'm accessing through whatever wireless is in this room on this iPad, and I'm accessing that, and when I tried to connect it, I went and contacted the web application proxy. And the web application proxy is the one that contacted ADFS and gave me the sign-on experience. Yes? Which version of ADFS are you using? This is the ADFS in Windows Server 2012 R2. the question was which version of ADFS I'm showing. And everything that I'm showing on this, in this demo, the web application proxy, the ADFS, is all Windows Server 2012 R2. One other question in the room? The question was, is the device registration service not in the earlier versions of ADFS? No, the device registration service is brand new. The workplace join concept, device registration service, is all brand new. Something that's available as part of Windows Server 2012 R2. So I'm going to log in as a random user that I created called Jane Doe at contoso100.com. Can everyone see the screen? Hopefully you cannot see my password. Oh. Is that fine? Did you catch that? Obviously, I got it wrong, I'm sure. Let's try this. Oh. So this is expected, by the way, I told you. I'm coming from a device that is not connected. So I'm going to connect my phone to the audio system so that for my next thing, because I'm going to get a phone factor and all of that. So let's see. So now I'm going to, I'm told that if I want to connect my device to the company, click here. So I'm going to click there. And now I'm told that, welcome, and you need to go and answer, you know, for, in order to continue with this operation, we are going to send you a phone call because I integrated, I'm going to show you the specific, what we did in the back to enable this. It says we are using the Active Authentication, which is what's called Phone Factor. The new brand name is Active Authentication. And it says a call will be placed. Now, why did we do this? This is something completely under your control, by the way. This is not something that's required. Phone Factor is not the only one. You can go and integrate with whatever you want. Or you can even choose not to have any second factor auth. But we believe this is, in our guidance to all of our customers, we will tell them, go and put a second factor auth there because this is a device that you're going to remember for a long period of time. You're going to set policies, access control policies. So that first act of connecting your company's the device to the company needs to be highly privileged. So in this particular case, because I set that policy, I'm going to hit continue. And if the phone reception is fine, then I should get a phone call. And is the audio on for the phone?
Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system. Press the pound key to finish signing in. You have been signed in. Goodbye.
So now what's happened is, now that I got authenticated, the user is authenticated, the device, I got a phone factor, that my second factor auth, I'm asked to go and install something on the device. By the way, this iPad, I'm not changing anything on this iPad. There's no software installed in this iPad. This is all using just Apple's, whatever Apple has provided as their OTA profile. So we are just going to use their profile mechanism to go and provision this device with their identity. So now, as a user, I'm told that that a profile is going to get installed, and we call it provide access to workplace applications and services. So I'm going to hit install. And when I do that, now all of the magic happens in the background, which is now the device is contacting our device registration service, communicating all the information that, following the normal protocol that Apple has published, in order for us to go and provide us the identity for this device, put it in Active Directory, and also store it in this thing. And now it tells me the profile has been installed. I'm done. And I'm told that I was prompted to install a profile, and I'm done at this point. So now let me go and show you what happened as a result of that. So I'm going to go to the Settings app. And in general, if I look at the profiles, you'll see one of the profiles that I have is a workplace join. So this is the profile that was just installed. And it says that it provides access to workplace applications and services, the workplace join, it gives you a username. And I can go and show more details. And it says there's a certificate here, and there's all the information about the certificate that we then use to go and authenticate this device the next time the user is accessing. So let's look at what that means. So I'm going to bring up Safari again, and I'm going to go to the same address that I had, which was the simple Windows web app. And what's going to happen at this point is, since I now came with a user's name and my workplace join device, now I'm allowed access. So what used to be an access denied, after I'm workplace join, I'm now allowed access. And what I'm going to show you is I have another app. This was a Windows authenticated app. So we took a Windows app, a Windows web app, published it over the extranet through the web application proxy so the user can access it. Now I'm going to access the other app, which was a ClaimSaver app, Who Am I?, which just shows you the claims that we collected. So we said this is Jane Doe, the SID information, and all of that. But what's interesting here is this: if you look at this, there's device claims now. And the device claims are, it says there's a registration ID that was provided by Active Directory, there's a display name, it's my device, the OS type is iOS, is registered user, which means was this user that's coming in, was that the same person who registered this device? So we say is registered user is true. So those are all the things that we have and that's just that. Going back to the slide on the demo environment, what we did was we took the iPad, had the web app and the Who Am I app published at the web application proxy, had this specific policy that says only workplace joined are allowed. We got access denied on the first round because I was not workplace joined. I joined my device, I was allowed access, and when I looked at the Who Am I app, I was able to show that all the claims, all the device was authenticated and all the authentication information. So another demo in a minute. Oh, those questions? So the question was Active Directory, what version of Active Directory do we need? Now, what we have done with Windows Server 2012 R2 is that you don't really need to update your domain controllers to get this value prop. If you have 2008, our recommendation is that be at least 2008. So if you have 2008, and the only requirement is you update your schema. So if you take the 2012 R2 box, it comes with the schema, you apply the schema, deploy ADFS, and then you're off to the races.
And when you get that call, that callback
function work, how is that, what's that vehicle, how is that being used to be doing now, what's doing that? Okay, this is a form factor that you're talking about. Okay, why don't I talk about that in the next slide in a minute. The question was, for the certificate to be deployed to the device, do we require a certificate authority? Well, no, we don't. This is a certificate. Since this certificate is not a general purpose certificate that gets used for your VPN or your network or whatever else, it's very specifically an authentication with ADFS. It's a certificate issued by ADFS. Another question? And there, I hope, hold on, there was one earlier on, sorry. From the schema change, is a computer object created or the other objects? What we did was, since a lot of our customers had already existing policies and scripts that work on the computer object, and it means something special for them, we have created a new object called a device object. So there are two types of objects. And in the case of device objects, since it's now per user, we also associate the user with the device. So there's some new concepts there, and I'll be happy to talk later on about that. And one other question to make it? Can you add an approval process to this, this being the workplace join? The question was, can you have an IT manager approve a device or not? Now, we don't have, we can, I'll follow up with you to see specifically what you had in mind, and we should be able to do that. But from the IT manager perspective, they can go and say, allow Windows, do not allow iOS. They can do that. But if on a per user basis, they cannot say, allow Ron to use their iOS and do not allow somebody else to not use their iOS.
Just
Okay, the question was, if the user has 10 devices that they're joining, is there some sort of an email approval process that we have in flight? In this version, we don't have any of the workflows that you may want to integrate in order to make that happen. So I'm going to talk to you very quickly about the stuff that we have done in Active Directory Federation service, because there was a question about what is required for this, all of this to come together. Now, what we have done is, if you look at Active Directory Federation service, this is something that we have shipped for a while now. It was outside of Windows. It was a separate download that we had. But starting in Windows Server 2012, we have made it inbox as a server role, and we are adding a lot more value. And this time around, with Server 2012 R2, we have significantly simplified ADFS. It's inbox, managed through PowerShell, integrated with Server Manager. We have also removed one of the things that we had with the ADFS was it uses IIS. And so that prevented people from deploying the role directly on the domain controllers. And so some of the feedback we got was, hey, I need two servers to deploy. I need two servers as for fault tolerance within my corporate boundaries. I need two servers in the extranet. So what we have done now is we have significantly simplified the architectures, and our guidance is go and deploy this on your domain controllers. Pick two or three domain controllers, wherever, how many ever you need to meet your needs. Deploy it there, so that eliminates the need for additional infrastructure that you have. And we also streamlined the whole deployment process, putting in prerequisite checks so that you don't get any surprises later on and find issues with the deployment. So we have simplified that. The other thing that we have done is we have built, before that, let me answer this gentleman's question. We have also built in extensibility points so that people can integrate with ADFS much more easily. So what we have done is we have a SDK for multi-factor authentication that people can write. It's a plugin model. And what you saw was PhoneFactor provided a plugin model for us that we integrated with. So you can go and take that plugin, deploy it on ADFS, and then I'll show you the console in a minute where you can go and say what type of authentication you want. And Samuel Devasahayam is going to be doing a talk that goes into a lot more details this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And I encourage you to go there because it shows a different, you might have seen PhoneFactor all 3 days, but he's going to show a different authentication, not PhoneFactor. So that you can see the power that's possible in the future. And now what we have done is in 2012 R2, we have gone and added this device registration service that allows users to register the device and access corporate data with doing single sign-on with device authentication. And also, we allow this whole publication of applications. So in the past, we had this ADFS proxy that you deployed in the DMZ. You should think about us having expanded that ADFS proxy to not only do authentication proxy, but also allow web applications to be proxied, so you can publish web applications. And now you can go and set conditional access. And the beauty of this conditional access is that you can do it on a per application basis. And the nice thing is you don't have the applications to change, because all of this is done in ADFS for you without the applications have to change. Now, the applications can do a lot more, because once we have all of that information from ADFS, we are going to send that as part of the token to the applications. So if the applications want to do more, they can do it, but that's up to the application. There was a question? In any way? That's a great question. Everything that I've shown, does it include Intune? Now, I think there's another picture that I have that comes in a minute that does talk about the Intune. Now, the way that we think about this is there are multiple value props that we are providing, one around access governance, access to company resources, and all of that. And then Intune comes in and adds the value around device management and application management. Now, you can look at this as a value prop If you look at the slide that I showed earlier on that showed the five scenarios around end users and IT, we think about this as between AD and Intune and some of the work that's happened in RMS and file servers that provides that full picture. Now, as we go forward, you can think about more integration points. Like, for example, can we know that a device is managed by Intune and do some additional access control policies, which we don't have this time around, but we should, you know, those are the types of things that we would love to get feedback and be able to. Doesn't involve Intune, but it integrates with whatever the Intune value prop. So what we saw was this whole notion of workplace join. I've talked about this. I just want to make sure that I don't need to talk about this anymore, I think. I've mentioned this many times. Seamless second factor auth prevents risks of passwords being on the device, allows single sign-on for the end user. When you think about this workplace join, we think about this as expanding the device support. And I actually think about this as you had domain join machines that were connected to Active Directory, and then you had machines that were not joined to AD, and those were only the two states that we had, that we allowed. And with workplace join, we are looking at this as a spectrum. It's a continuum in the space of non-join and fully join, and workplace join is somewhere in the middle. And so the way we think about this is if you're not joined, you had limited access. IT had no idea about the device. There was no control. With workplace join device, what's happened is now we know that the device is at work. IT does not have full control over it, but they can govern it. They can govern this with controlled access to resources. And of course, if you had domain joined, it's fully company-owned, it has full IT control, and you allow full access. So that's how we think about the whole notion of workplace join. Again, I think when I was looking at the Twitter feed last night, or a couple of days back, people were saying, hey, you know, workplace join now, as a user, do I give my full device to IT control? And the answer is really no. It's up to the IT to go and tell you what they're going to do, what sort of policies they'll deploy with Intune and all of that. And then the IW will go and the end user will go and decide, do I want to connect my device to my company? And we expect most companies to make it in a way that it's usable by their employees. And it means no full control, but you may not get full access either. So enabling work from anywhere. If I look at the picture that we have painted, we have, you know, with Windows Server, with Intune, and all of that, we are providing this picture of users can work anywhere. You can now single sign-on and with your workplace join. With Intune, users can enroll devices into their companies, and they can go and sign up, get applications from Intune and all of that. And I'm now going to talk specifically about work from anywhere, which means what are the three types of, what we have heard typically from customers is, hey, we have three strategies for enabling work from anywhere. One is VPN and direct access. One is remote desktop. And one is a reverse proxy. So you know about VPN and the direct access. You know, you can provide seamless access to corporate resources. The direct access only works on domain join machines, not available on workplace join machines, because in this case, the devices are sitting directly on the corporate network. Now, this is something that people like, use, and all of that, but one of the things that we have consistently heard from a lot of our customers is that when these new types of devices, which they don't control, they don't know what applications will be on them, they are not comfortable with these devices sitting directly on their corporate network. So, because they don't know what sort of attacks can happen due to that. So we heard that, hey, I need a way by which you allow me to not have the device directly on my corporate network. And for that, we have two strategies now. The one is all around this notion about the web application proxy. Now, as I mentioned, we took ADFS proxy, expanded it to include publishing applications. It's now a role service in the routing and remote access role. The routing and remote access role is where you see VPN, you see direct access. We have added, since it's a remote access strategy, we have added that in that role. So with that, now you can publish, you can select the applications you want, the web applications you want, and publish it to the extranet. And then you can also set all of these conditional policies that I mentioned so that you can go and decide under what circumstances do I allow access to these resources. And then you have the third notion of remote desktop gateway, so that with the remote desktop gateway, also, you don't have to allow the users to connect directly to your corporate network. You can deliver a virtual experience to them, either as a virtual desktop or a virtual application. And now that's your choice, really. It's like, depending on what type of infrastructure you have and what is your comfort, with the virtual apps, the nice thing is data does not land on the device itself. It's all a virtual experience. But from the user experience, they may not get the most native experience on the device itself. So with the web application proxy, we allow publishing applications, managing risk. I've talked about all of these things around the value for IT admin is publish web applications, manage your risk. From the end user, you can work from anywhere, single sign-on across applications. With that, I want to jump into my next demo, which shows a Windows device. And I'm going to change a few things around so that you get the idea of how much control you have versus in managing all of this. So give me a minute while I... This computer went to sleep while I was talking. So what I'm doing, hold on, let me just bring this up so that you can see what I'm doing. So what I'm doing right now is I'm connecting to my ADFS system. So what you see here is the ADFS console. So what I'm going to do now is, since I told you earlier on, hey, this second factor auth is a choice that you have, and I'm going to turn off the second factor auth just to show you that it's possible. But before that, let me go and show you the authentication policy. This is where you go and set the global authentication policy for ADFS. And if you look at it, we have this multi-factor authentication. I have authentication method as phone factor. That's because I installed the phone factor on this machine. And Samuel later on is going to show you the other possibilities. So here what I have is this whole notion of per-relying party trust that ADFS has. And if you look at this, these are all the apps I published with ADFS. And I'm going to go to this device registration service. And I'm going to go to this multi-factor tab. And if you look at this, right now what I've done is I've said, as an administrator of this box, I've said, I want anybody who comes with an unregistered device or from the extranet. So remember, I told you that you can now drive policies based on workplace joined or not, network location or not. This is where I'm going to do all of that. So I'm going to turn off these things so that now I'm going to say, hey, this is a free-for-all. If a user can provide their password, that's all I need. So let's do that. And now I'm going to show you this device, which is my Windows 8.1 device. And I'm going to show you the same experience that with workplace join. Let me make sure. Did I apply that policy? Yes, I... So I'm going to start with this charms at the side, and I'm going to go to the settings app and change my PC settings. And if I look at the PC settings, under all of these choices, under network, if you click on network, people already have this notion of home group, and home group is where you go and connect your machine to your home network. We have this new notion called workplace now. It's exposed under network. And I'm going to go and do the same thing. I'm going to go to Jane Doe. And then I'm going to say I want to join to the company's network. And what happened as a result here is now Here you can't see my password. So now what happened was, since I turned off all second factor requirement, with the username and password, that was it. I'm now joined to the company's AD. I can choose to leave it anytime I want. And then Intune, with Intune, the other one is turn on, allow apps and services for IT admin. That's if you do that and you have Intune, that's when you start getting all of the Intune value prop. So, but right now, I connected this device to AD just like I did the iPad. It's now got a certificate provisioned on it, so I can use it for accessing my company resources. And as a user, I can decide to choose when I want to leave it. And the moment I leave it, I lose all of the privileges I got on this machine with single sign-on and all of that. So let me just show you quickly the same access that so I'm going to go to the simple Windows web app. And there you go. I'm signed in. And what I want to do right now is I can go back and look at this Who Am I app. And it shows me the same things that I showed you. And what I can do now is if I were to power up this device, even if I were to shut down IE, whatever else, I get single sign-on because this device is not provisioned. It's got workplace join, it's provisioned, and if I have other apps that are all connected to my company, I get the same benefit. So since I'm running, I wanted to show you the single sign-on, but I'm running short. I want to leave at least 5 minutes per question, so I'm going to wrap this up very quickly with talking to you about, I hope this is very clear, but I just want to stress that you can now do access control based on multiple criteria. I'm just giving, again, these are examples. These are high-level concepts we are making available. User, known device, network location, additional auth factors. You can use all of that, drive access control based on multiple criteria, and then you can access your web app. With that, I want you to remind you that there's a lot of other content we have around this area, specifically the secure anywhere access to corporate resources such as Windows Server, work folders using ADFS, WCAB3334 is happening today evening, and then enable work from anywhere, WCAB33, without losing your sleep. Enable work from anywhere without losing your sleep is happening tomorrow, so I encourage you to go there. A lot of resources available for you to use, and please make sure that you complete the evaluation, and hopefully this was useful, and we have about 5 to 6 minutes for Q&A, so have a gentleman, and if you could use the, thank you very much. If you could use the microphone, that'll be best, but if you don't, you can ask the question where you are, and I will repeat the question for you.